Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and you heard the voice of Greg McClure over there. He's the K-State Research and Extension in Riley County Ag Agent. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
So we call Greg Eyestone 3G. I guess we got to call you 2G, or?
Well, there's one at the beginning, one at the end. So, yeah, he can be 3G. We're both behind, right?
That's
so we're
right,
up to 5G now, right?
We're up to 5G.
I mean, we are old technology.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you guys, to have you here today. And I know there's a lot going on here. And you've got some events that are actually going to be happening.
Yeah, it's the time of year when I really try to get rolling with ag events, educational events for ag producers. Usually, you know, by January, they've been through the holidays, and the folks that I work with are kind of tired of being in the house and maybe ready to get out and do some other things. And so early January is when I really try to start those educational events, and we'll hit those hard through January and February and into March, and then they get busy with farm work, and I can't get a crowd, so I go do other things.
Yeah, that's a good point here. This is the downtime for a lot of ag producers, so a good opportunity to get them in there and get some information.
If there is a downtime.
Yeah.
It may be a slower time. If you're in the cow business, it's not downtime because cold weather like this, you spend a little more time feeding.
Absolutely. And speaking of cold weather, is there any tips you have for farmers here during the cold if they don't
know? Well, there's some things that we try to remind people. You know, your lower critical temperature on cows. You know, when we get below that lower critical temperature, which is, I should look that number up. It's 28 to 32 degrees or something like that, where they're kind of comfortable with the normal amount of feed. But for any degree below that lower critical temperature, they need about 1% more feed. And so 1% more energy, so it's just translated to give them more feed. And they can eat more when it's colder. And so it really kind of works. You know, you and I probably eat more when it's colder, or yep, maybe when it's warmer or whenever, but I don't know. I tend to put on weight in winter, too.
Yep.
I think it's because I think I'm supposed to do it. I still have the mindset to eat more, but I don't have to be on the cold temperature to where it takes the energy to burn it off.
I always feel sorry for the when I drive by the cows in the wintertime because it just seems so miserable. I hate the cold.
You know, it looks bad, but you put a heavy winter coat on them, and their lower critical temperature gets down to 18. And so they really aren't feeling it like we would being out in there. Yeah, they're wearing a heavy coat. You know, you got a heavy winter coat that gets thick, gives them more insulation. So they can handle it down to 18. But, you know, again, the temperature was, well, mine said 5 this morning. I'm not sure what everybody else had, but at 5 degrees, they definitely need more feed.
And you said you have sheep, so they have natural coats there.
They do have a natural coat, and as long as they've got a full coat, but yet that gives them that same protection as what those cows have with a heavy winter coat. And so, again, we're looking at about, you know, that 32 degrees at one point. But any of them, if you get them wet, that critical temperature gets to be about 58. And so you get a cow wet in the wintertime, you're really hurting. Mm. You know, and that can happen if you get a wet snow. You know, these dry snows, they just kind of fall right off. But you get a wet snow, it really changes how much feed they need.
Well, again, we've got Greg McClure here in studio with us this morning from the Riley County Extension Office. You inherited the farm. Now what? That is a Zoom series that begins Monday, right?
Tuesday, actually.
Tuesday, okay.
Yep, that's a Tuesday. January 11 is a Tuesday. And so that's a series. We did that last year. Thought it went really pretty well. It's designed for landowners who maybe haven't been managing the farm for a while. You know, again, title it, you inherited the farm. Now what? You know, it's like many, many times we have folks who've gotten to be 50, 60, 70 years old, and then they inherit the farm, and they've been off the farm for maybe 30 years or even 40 or 50 years, and suddenly they own this land, and they've got to figure out what to do with it. And so that's where we are with this series. You know, the first session we do on the 11th of January. Again, these are Zoom sessions. And so anybody that's interested can sign up for that. Don't even have to leave your home. If you happen to have a job in town, you can probably do it at your computer at work. It's over the noon hour. And we had some people do that last year. But anyway, the first session, the intro to farm ownership is really, well, now I have it. What am I going to do with it? And part of what we'll discuss in that session is, do you want to, you may have siblings, do you really want to own it together? And kind of walk through of, you know, and if you decide to sell it, how do you value it, and those kind of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks with that, because if you're not familiar with farming, you don't want to, you know, bankrupt yourself.
Well, you know, and it's a big business, and suddenly if you've inherited a farm, you've inherited a really good asset, a business. You are likely, many are likely to rent it out. And then they need to discuss, well, how are we going to rent it out? Are we just going to take a cash rent? Are we going to do a crop share? You know, in some cases, you can have it custom farmed. And actually, that gets into the second session. So the second session on the 18th of January is leasing, lease law, general leasing principles. And those are the questions that I get really the most. Honestly, if I looked at, took a list of the questions, the phone calls that I get at my office, that'd be the highest number. It's just leasing questions. So what is fair? What's a common lease? I mean, what normally happens? You know, what do you share? Many of these are share leases. So in this country, it's usually the landowner would get 40%, the tenant would get 60%. So not all that way, but that's usually what happens. But then you share some of the inputs when doing that. And those are the things that if you've not been in the business, or if you were in the business 40 years ago, some of that's changed.
And does that vary from state to state as well?
It'll vary from state to state, and it'll vary across the state. You hit about Salina and west of Salina. It's a little farther west than that, or in some – it switches to a one-third, two-thirds split. So 33%, 67%, whatever, however you want to do that, instead of 40-60.
Okay.
And it's – kind of a lot of that's tradition, but I think it started based on the productivity of the land. You know, so the land is more productive, more expensive here, and so the landowner gets a higher percent. I haven't dealt with a lot of it farther east of here. I don't know. You know, there are some irrigated leases that are a 50-50 lease. I don't really know. And you know what it gets when we get in that really good ground.
All right. Well, the series will continue into January 25th with fence law, and that's another tricky situation.
Yeah, fence law is one that I say you don't really think you need to know it until you need to know it. You know, if you own land, it's probably got a fence on it, and again, those questions are common too. Land will, you know, sometimes the land sells, and the new owner, or well, the new person that just inherited it, you know, suddenly someone's saying that we need to take care of your fence, and they're saying, well, I'm not going to take care of the fence. I don't have any livestock. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, if you own it and the guy next to you has livestock, you're still responsible for your part of the fence. And so we kind of go into that. There's Kansas law that dictates that, and that helps us, kind of makes it, well, it really makes it easier for neighbor relations, because, you know, this is what it says. You know, you kind of need to eventually decide to get along, but the law tells you what you need to do.
All right.
And we do. So, again, that's January 25. We're doing these, you know, every Tuesday at noon from January 11 to February 8. On February 1st, we'll talk about soil fertility. Get a little deep into soil fertility for some, but the idea here is that most of our leases are a crop share, and tenants get a bill for fertilizer, or landlords get a bill from their tenant for fertilizer and say, well, what is this? You know, why am I getting this bill? And so this is just to give them a better idea of what to expect, and to maybe have a better understanding that, you know, that really is doing us some good. Because if we don't fertilize, you know, we're not going to get our money back. It's just not going to work.
And that's such a key thing to keep in mind, is knowing how well your soil is.
Yeah, you need to know what your soil is. You know, I'll even encourage some landowners to take their own soil tests. You know, I don't see any reason not to do that. Usually the tenant does that, but I own some land, and I'm likely, of course, you know, I'm in a little different situation than many, but I'm likely to go out and take the soil tests and then just send the results to the tenant. So, you know, if they didn't do it, I'll do it for them.
All right, and then the last
You have to feel sorry for the guy that farms for me, don't you? You got the guy that thinks he knows what he's doing and trying to help you along the way. And I get it. I probably wouldn't like it very well if I were them, but we communicate enough that I think we get along okay.
Very good. And then the last one is just stump the county agent. And I'm guessing this is kind of a miscellaneous thing.
Pretty much just miscellaneous thing. So we didn't do that the fifth session last year. And after a survey of participants said, why don't you put in a session that's just anything and everything? He said, it might put you on the spot. But I said, okay, well, I'll just title that one, Stump the County Agent. And it's the one that any question you might have, we'll see if we have an answer to. And that's actually kind of my life, is that if you can't find it on Google, you call the county agent, stump the county agent. and so we'll just do that in one of the sessions and see where we lead it.
All right. Well, that's, again, you can get the registration online at riley.ksu.edu. And is there a deadline to do that?
Hey, I really ought to know by Monday, because I've got to send out the link. So it's a Zoom conference. I've already sent the link to most of the folks who are signed up, but I'm keeping an eye on that list to make sure that I get everybody else so they know how to connect. And we will actually spend a few minutes at the start. There are folks who, unlike you and me, have not been living on Zoom for the last 2 years. And so we'll do a bit of a tutorial. As long as they're able to click on that link and get connected, I'll tell them a little bit about how to mute themselves, and also the fact that I can mute them if I need to. Tell them how to turn off their camera and maybe point out the chat, and just the little details that seem to be real common for us, but they weren't 2 years ago. And so anybody else who is new to Zoom, we'll try to make it as easy as we can.
All right, very good. Let's take a quick break. We'll get more into some other things going on. Greg McClure is going to stick around for another segment. We'll be back in a minute here on News Radio KMAN.